Hi, my name is Star McGowan.
Hi, my name is Will Gibb.
Hi, my name is Maddie Spencer, and this is Uncommon.
Uncommon is a production by Neural, an agency that helps both brands and talent tell their story. To learn more, just visit neural.com. That's NeurALLE.com. My guests this week, we've got Star McGowan, Bogan Margot Robbie, Maddie Spencer, Queen of the Dandelions, and Will Gibb, who is that comedian who's just a little bit too accurate with some of his bits. To me, you're all some of Australia's brightest up-and-coming TikTok talent. I am your manager, so I have to ask, first of all, are you all here on your own free will?
Is this the part where we say what you told us to say?
Yeah. So I'm curious, like, all of your style, I would say there's like a comedic element to it, obviously. So maybe we'll go ladies first and start with Maddie. What's sort of the earliest inception moment of funny for you all?
Like with my own content?
Just in just life. What's like your first memory of something being funny?
I guess like my first like memory in life, like my dad and I, we would be in the kitchen and we'd just be doing like day-to-day stuff, but we'd put on like the weirdest accents and we'd be like, we're going to put the chicken in the fridge. Oh no, I'm not going to get that. Like, I don't know. We'd just go on for 40 minutes at a time. And I just like, by the end of it, I'd just be in tears, like laughing. And it was just like a daily routine of just that little bit of weird, but then also like a good like relationship as well, that we would just like go back and forth. And I just remember that just being, oh, so much fun. And that was like in my household, obviously. And then one other time, I think I was like in kindergarten and there was this like tiny little like railing. It was very like, it was very low. It wasn't very high. And you'd walk on it. And then I pretended to like walk the plank and then like, and then land on it weirdly and injure myself. And like people were laughing and I was like, oh, this is like really fun. Like, wow, like people are getting enjoyment out of this. And I think it was just not taking yourself too seriously and just kind of, I don't know, that was like my first memories of funny and comedic, is just taking the mickey out of yourself and like not caring that much. That's pretty much it.
What about you, Star?
Yeah, very similar to Mad. Like for me, I always kind of have liked being the center of attention. I know that sounds weird, but I grew up in a massive family. So I've got four brothers and two sisters. There's seven of us in total. And we would always just, well, me, I was the star of the show. We'd just like make up all these, like, I don't know, we would act out scenes or like do songs and dances and stuff like that. And then make our parents or aunties and stuff sit down and watch. It was probably shocking at the time. But yeah, similar to what Mad says, it's just kind of taking the piss out of myself and just like taking everyday experiences that we all go through and just turning it into something funny, which is what I feel like all of us do who are here today. So
yeah. Were you as performative as a kid, Will?
Yeah, unfortunately. So one time in kindy, this kid called Ben Ling got thrown to the floor by our teacher, like thrown to the floor. And we were like, this guy is like proper fucked. Like, who is this guy? And then for the, like the rest of school, like in primary school, just being like, you know, having just like making fun of the teacher. That was it. It became like, who could just get told off by this teacher for doing the funniest thing? So that became like the judge, like outperforming each other, like, watch this, I'm going to like throw my chair. And, you know, he would retaliate just as badly. And we got enjoyment from that, I think.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was very.
There's always a kid who throws a chair. I feel like that's a thing.
Yep.
Like
every, yeah, that was me.
Had a chair throwing kid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm proud of that.
Yeah, I was the kid that threw the chair. And then, yeah, you know, this teacher was crazy. But, yeah, it was fun. That was my first moment. That's of funny. Like, I can make everyone else laugh. Holy crap.
Mine was a little similar. I think it was a cheekiness towards teachers.
Mm.
It had to be. Or probably actually to my dad. I like shit stirring my dad. I'm continually called a smart ass. So I guess you guys would all have that as well. When you all look back at your childhood, is there a particular principle that you've all carried from one of your parents or grandparents or someone that was, you know, a figure in your life growing up? For example, my dad, it was always hard work. And I only have that because I just saw it. It's not that he told me, but that was just something that I saw. I'd go in and sit at his factory that he operated and like, you know, he'd be coming home late at night, exhausted, all those little things that had an impact later on in life for us.
I remember my nan had like a magnet on her fridge and it, but lived by it, still lived to this day. It's just treat people the way you wish to be treated. Simple as that. Like, just be kind to each other and like what you put out into the world, you'll get back. So simple, but when it's in practice, I think it allows for great things.
Will?
My grandpa, and he still says it to me, always says like, no matter how good you are at something, you don't want people to, you know, you don't want to show that you know you're good, I think. He says like, always act like you're the person in the room that needs to learn the most so that you can actually learn the most. So I think what I've taken from it is, yeah, just trying to surround myself with people that I can learn from and not try and just bathe in being really good at something. Like always trying to improve that.
That's interesting. What about you, Star?
I think for me, at my core, what's been instilled in me from a very young age would just be that you're never going to be judged by someone who's doing less than you. So just always do whatever the fuck makes you happy and don't worry about what anybody else thinks. I think like for all of us as creators as well, that is something that is particularly important because no matter what you do, you're going to piss off someone one day. But if that's something that makes you happy and you're not doing anything like malicious towards anybody else, then fuck it, just go for it.
I'm curious, how many siblings do all of you have? Because Star's got like 20.
Yeah, right? 500.
Oh my gosh.
How many siblings do you actually have?
Oh my God, this is actually a really fun story. So my mom has 7 kids, but then my dad has 3 kids. But I didn't meet them until like 3 years ago. I didn't even know they existed. So I kind of am like one of 10. There's 10 people within my sibling realm, but like my mom has 7 kids. So those are the siblings that I grew up with.
Wait, when you say you didn't know they existed, why?
are we going there? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's do it.
So I always thought, why am I telling this story? Whatever, it's content. I always thought that my dad was this person A. But when I was like 22, I found out that it was actually someone else. And the way that I found that out was I went on Facebook and like went onto this person's page and I was like, oh, okay, this is all a little bit weird. And then my mom ended up telling my sister that, hey, like, that's actually Star's dad. Surprise. So then he didn't know either. So he has 3 kids. Indy.
No.
And what?
Yeah, dude, it's insane. It's actually like a really beautiful story. And like, yeah. I'm super grateful for the way that it turned out. But like, yeah, so then I ended up like stalking him further and I was like, holy shit, like this guy fully has kids. Like, and it was this really big like identity crisis for me, especially at that age as well. Like trying to figure your shit out. You're like, who am I? What am I doing? So then, yeah, my mom told my sister and long story short, we ended up connecting. And then we like, it was so weird. It was like going on a date with someone, but it's your dad. We met up at Bondi Hotel and he's there with like his little hat and he had like flowers for me. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cute. And he's like, oh, okay, I'll get us a drink. And he's like, do you want a glass of wine? And I was like, oh no, can I have a beer? And he like turned around and looked at me. He's like, that's my girl kind of thing. And I was like, oh. So yeah, I do actually have 500 siblings. And if there are any more of you out there, let me know. Why am I doing my life story in the first 10 minutes?
So hang on, just on that. So your biological father was not the father you grew up with, but you thought he was your biological father.
Wait, no, I didn't. No, wait, you're confusing me. Okay, so I thought that one person was my dad until I was 22. And then I found out that somebody else was.
Okay. And did you, were you just living with your mum?
Yeah.
Up until the age of 22?
My mum and like my mum and like my siblings and my stepdad.
I see. For a brief moment, I thought your mum was married to a man that you thought was your dad. And then you actually found out at 22, he wasn't your dad.
Oh, right. Yeah. No. They went together. I have a stepdad, but, wow. Yeah. So dad's galore over here.
What about you, Will? You've got a sister.
Well, I actually have 12 dads, just to one up that story. And I've got one sister and she's the complete opposite of me. She's very hardworking and she lives in the country and she's becoming a vet. So shout out to Shah Gibby.
Wow.
Yeah.
Country vet.
But she's like not the favorite. I feel bad because she works so much harder than me. And she is, you know, just a much more driven person. But mum's like, oh, Will does comedy. Yay. And so Charlotte, yeah, you know, poor girl.
Oh, that's hilarious. Maddie, what about yourself?
Yeah, so I am middle child syndrome. No, I've got a younger brother and an older sister as well. So my sister and I were 19 months apart. So I am a mistake. My birthday is exactly 9 months after Valentine's Day. So I'm so lovable. And then my younger brother, he's like 3 years younger than me. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you're a middle child. Will, you're the oldest or the youngest?
I'm the oldest.
Star, you're the oldest, right?
I'm second eldest.
I'm the eldest as well. Okay, interesting. All right, so studies. There's a commonality here amongst you guys. There's definitely, like, as I said before, performance is in there. I know, Will, you do arts, but the girls do more comms and marketing. I don't know why. I just assumed Will was doing comms as well.
Ooh.
But, you know, because I like you'd be a brilliant marketer. You should consider it. Anyway.
Yeah.
You've got the comedy stuff going on. So I'm curious amongst yourselves, it sort of seems obvious growing up, there's sort of this performative element in the family. But why, you know, you finish year 12, why do marketing, media and this whole TikTok stuff?
When I was younger, I wanted to be an actress, like a lot of drama and stuff, which was really fun. And then I wanted to be a film producer, director kind of thing. And I did like a little bit in that in videography and stuff. And then worked like full time just in retail and did a bit of travel. And then I got to a point where I was really eager to learn. And I realized that I just wanted to be creative, and anything that was with people that was creative, that was fun. Little bit, like I was getting into a bit of psychology and stuff as well. And I felt like marketing was really, really interesting. And yeah, it just kind of like fell in my lap. And then when this whole TikTok thing happened, I was like, oh, cool. Like this is something that's like a hobby, but then it also aligns with what I'm doing as a career. And it just all kind of intertwined really nicely. Like, I really love it. I love making videos. Every time I go away on a holiday or something, I always like capturing the moment and capturing the funny moments, which is always great. So it's just like a really happy medium and I'm having the best time. So I figured it's just kind of like a why not? Like I know that there's a lot of judgment, especially a lot of people don't like marketers. And I'm like, what do you mean? It's like the world is a beautiful place. Every job has a specific role in society. Our job is to like be ethical, always be ethical in your practices, and always just show the purpose for each different person of this product or of that, and like just kind of highlight the beauty in it. Like this isn't a drink bottle, this is something that will hydrate you, and I don't know if I could go all day, but I just love it. I just find it really, really interesting.
Yeah. What about you, Star?
Awesome. My path was a little bit different. So I was a massive rat bag when I was in high school. Like I was so feral. I was like, I'm not going to uni. I don't want to do my ATAR. And I just kind of had no direction with where I wanted to go. So I didn't actually start uni until I was 22. And up until that, I was working full-time as a dental assistant. bit random, but yeah. So then I originally wanted to get into dentistry. I was like, yep, that had been my world for like the past 6 years of my life. And I'm like, yes, this is my destiny. And I'd never even really leaned into the creative side of me. Like I'd always done like a little bit of social media work on the side, just like management and content creation. And then I applied for dentistry and I didn't get in. And I was like, well, fuck, like my life is over. But it wasn't because then I went into a health science degree. And within my first year, I was, you didn't have to choose your major in the first year. And it was really weird, but also amazing being at uni as a mature age student, because I feel like a lot of people go when they're quite young because that's what they feel like they have to do. Whereas with me, it was like I actually really wanted to be there. And I was that annoying person that asked like 500 questions and I always had like something to say. I got into so many arguments with people in uni. But yeah, so then I did a marketing subject and I was like, oh, it to be honest, like at first I struggled with it a little bit because I'm like, I come from a health background where my purpose has been to help people and to make people feel safe and comfortable. And then you go into marketing and at first I was like, now I'm going to like use that knowledge against people to make them spend money. And it was like this really big conflict that I had. But I guess as I went through, I was like, okay, yeah, like you can do that, but you don't actually have to. And what really draws me to my career is storytelling. Like at my core, that's what I love doing the most. And I feel like with content, if you can tell someone's story, that's what people are going to connect with the most. So yeah, a bit sappy towards the end there, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd say all of you, in your various ways, that is what the role is, essentially. Will's is a little bit different in that it's pure comedy and there's no real pathway for that, is there, Will?
No, there's not. So went to a very privileged school and I was very happy, very lucky. I went to the Scots College and that taught me not so much academics, but it taught just the facilities on offer, the resources for performance were just exceptional. So I used that and I knew, from year eight that I wanted to do comedy. And it took a long time convincing my dad to sort of be like, look, this is what I want to do. Because again, he saw it as, not very profitable and just, a big risk. And I think it took, several shows and so much. Like I was doing so much and still it was like, oh, I don't know. So I had to go to uni after I graduated. Because the thing that annoyed me was I knew I had the ability. I didn't, as my grandpa was always telling me, don't act like, you're a big dog. But inwardly, I definitely was. I was definitely confident. I was like, oh, this just sucks. Like I could just, so I wasted 3 years at university. I hated every second of it. It was full of fuckwits and fuck Sydney Uni. It's the worst place in the world. Sorry if anyone likes it, but I hate it. And I wasted 3 years there of my life and heaps of money. And then I just decided, forget this. And I just started posting on TikTok because the algorithm just seemed so alluring and it ended up being beneficial. And now I can start to build an audience for what I really enjoy doing. So I think the path is however you want to go about it, really. But I think I found my path through TikTok.
And what does your dad do out of interest?
My dad is a recruitment guy. So he runs his own recruitment company. So a company will say, hey, we're looking for this sort of person. And he'll find candidates, like a little casting director.
Yeah. So he's a professional entrepreneur, essentially.
Yeah. Exactly.
Expert entrepreneur specific to recruitment. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. My dad had a similar thing. I guess it was mainly because of that WOG background, but it was like, you've got to do a profession.
Yeah.
So it was either accounting, law, investment banking, or what was the other option? Like go work in financial markets. And I was good at the accounting sort of side of things, but it was fucking boring. I did it at uni. My first, I had a grad role and I recognized then and there that I just wasted 3 years of my life.
Yeah.
And the hex that are involved with it. And it took a while to actually pivot out of that space. Actually, like Star in a way, I only really got into the industry. I don't know when you got into sort of doing marketing jobs, Star, but it took me, I probably would have been like 26 at the time, maybe 25, 26 until I'd gone from financial markets into like marketing and sales positions in financial markets, then just marketing and sales positions, and then eventually our own agency. But it was really hard to undo something that was like essentially an external pressure. All right, TikTok. Obviously you're all on it. I said many times that the commonality amongst you guys is there's a comedic element. Will, pure comedian, I would say, like with the focus being stand-up, where I'd say Star and Maddie, you're definitely entertainers. How did you guys fall into this whole TikTok thing and what's your own personal intrigue in it? Maybe we'll start with Star.
So for me, I've always done Instagram stories. Like I I just have no filter. I pick on my phone and I'll just talk shit about whatever is happening in my life. And TikTok started to become a thing. Like, well, I guess I heard about it at the end of 2019 and everybody said to me like, dude, you have to get this app. Like it is made for you. And I was like, whatever. I don't dance. I'm not going to TikTok. That's lame. Then one day I just jumped on it and I fell into the vortex. I was there for 3 hours just scrolling and I was like, okay, shit, this is actually really funny. I made my first video and if I like went back to look at it, I'd be so cringe because it just like was not a format for TikTok, but it was something that I thought was hilarious. Like I watched it back like 50 times. But then after that, I was like kind of getting into it a little bit more and I started to understand how it worked. Did my first like video that went viral and I was like, oh fuck, like, okay, like maybe some people actually like the stuff that I do. So I started to lean into it a little bit more. And then it was like one video that made me blow up, I guess, and like gained a lot of followers. And then that's what is really interesting about TikTok is like you really can get that kind of overnight success, or you can go from 0 to 20K in one night if you have one video. So it's just a really interesting platform. And also the life of videos is so much longer compared to like something like Instagram before they had reels and everything like that. Like you can post something on TikTok and it will flop and then 2 weeks later it starts to pick up again. So yeah, it's really interesting. And I guess like as a creator, my brand has definitely developed over time as well, because I've realized like, you know, what are the types of content, you know, with your help, Jordan, what are the types of content that actually make me happy and that I enjoy doing? So I guess I just really try to make that shine through everything I do and try to be like just as authentic and organic as possible. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I find that the videos that have minimal effort, they're always the ones that people fucking love, because it just shows that you're a real person. Like, platforms like Instagram and everything's very curated, very filtered.
Yeah.
TikTok, like you just pick up your phone and you're like, fuck me, this fucked up thing happened to me. And it's just like, there's that instant connection. Like there's no, you don't have to guess what type of person like the creator is. You already know, like you just feel like you know them on a deeper level, I believe anyway.
What was the video out of interest that quote unquote blew up?
Oh, fucking hell. It was a Margot Robbie video. And it was like, sound that's like, you know that song, it's like, ooh yeah, no, I can't believe
yeah.
You know that, it was that. So it was like me not showing my face and then I was like, boom, there's me. But then honestly, like I think the reason it blew up was because I got so much hate on it, but I'm like, yeah, it's fine, give me the clap. Yeah,
I think I found you from that video, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
shit.
Pretty sure
I actually freaked out when it blew up. I got really scared because I'd never like been exposed to hate on that level before, because it wasn't even hate. It's just people just being fucking dumb. So then I ended up like putting the video on private because it freaked me out. And then like I randomly decided to put it back on one day and then like it picked up again. And I was like, but now like, I'm like, yeah, fuck it. If people want to give me hate, I can cop it. So yeah.
What about you, Maddie? How did you get into this TikTok thing?
Well, I downloaded the app a little while ago and I was like, oh, like this is kind of fun. And I think I posted like a few videos. Like I never really thought too much of it. I was like, because I was the same as Star. Like I just posted Instagram stories all the time. I used to get like people constantly messaging me being like, I love your Instagram stories. Like they make my day. They're so funny. And I was like, oh, sick. Like cool. Like me just be doing me. And yeah, I was just posting like a little bit on TikTok, not too much. And then I went on a road trip with a friend of mine and we were in like this lighthouse, we're in a field and I was like, haha. And then I went over and it was on Instagram and I used this filter and then I did the whole like Sid dandelion video and ate this dandelion and I was like, haha, well, we're going to post it on TikTok as well. And then I drove for 4 hours and then when we stopped, I looked at my phone and it had 800,000 views. And I was like, I was like, what happened? And I was just laughing. And then by midnight, it had 1 million views. And I was like, I was in my van and my friend and I were eating pizza, like in the back of the van watching like Netflix. And we were crying of laughter being like, what is this app? Like, why has this blown up? Like just had no clue. Like it was so hilarious. But yeah, that whole thing happened. And then I guess just since there, it just kind of made me realize like how like big that app is and how like something that I make can be appreciated. And there's like so many other things, like other videos that I've made that aren't necessarily like the dandelion thing that people have enjoyed. Like I did one of my dog the other day. I did it on a different app. I did it on Snapchat and sent it to some friends. And I was like, that's actually really funny, or I find it funny. So I saved it and then I posted it. And then again, it had like that genuine reaction because I wasn't trying. Like almost every time where I'm not trying, it's had a really great reaction. It also makes me think about recently when I watched A Quiet Place premiere and they had the interview with John Krasinski at the end, he was saying that when he started on The Office, he was like really worried about like doing his lines well and making sure that they were delivered funny. And he was like, and the director of The Office said to him, no, like you just need to deliver your lines and they're going to deliver exactly how it's meant to. And I think that since listening to that very recently, I think that's something that I need to remember, that people, like, I'm not filtering myself on this app. Like, I might come up with content or like I might come up with ideas, but if I just stay genuine in what I'm doing and like keep it not so theatrical, which is kind of my background because I did musical theater and stuff, that's probably going to allow the greatest growth, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you mentioned The Office thing, because every casting director I've ever spoken to, more so on like TV and for streaming services and whatnot, when they're casting, is they just keep saying, stop trying. Like, people really, yeah. And it translates well to this. I think that's the benefit that this platform has, without a doubt. Yeah. And that video that you're talking about is super funny, because I remember when we first started managing, like, people were asking to license that video. I don't know what it was about it, but that was a good instance of a video like blowing up and going viral. Will.
Yes.
What about you?
Well, mine was just like, I was posting Instagram videos at the time and only my friends were liking them, but they were really liking them. So it was just the same thing. And then I just thought I'd give it a crack and posted it and they went well and it sort of kept going like that. So it was just, that's pretty much it. All with the end goal of, building an audience for comedy.
Is there a video when you first started out that like really sticks in the back of your mind where you went, okay, fuck, this platform has something to it?
Yeah, it was my first, like, it was like a video. I was like, private school boy, thanks to the guest speaker. And I go up and I'm like, turns out women don't like getting fucking bashed. And then So I was like, oh, okay, people actually like that stuff. And then I just kept doing similar characters and, built the audience. Now I'm sort of, I'm in a position now where I can sort of not just do the same character. I can do whatever and, still get the good views and stuff, which is great.
Yeah. So when you look at your characters, there's a similar thing that these girls have uncovered. There's a truth to those characters, but it's very like obvious and overt, like obviously not in the way that they would speak ordinarily. Like the one that blew up recently that I thought was just fucking hilarious was, overprotective boyfriend interrupts your conversation.
Oh,
yeah.
You get really triggered.
And the best bit about it is the comments around the accuracy. There was one in particular where it was like, it's just a video. It's just a video. Yeah. It's just a video.
I sort of don't expect people to actually have such illicit responses, but it turns out that I'm clearly pressing some sort of button, which is great, but it's just like overdoing it but trying to underplay it at the same time. Oversaying whilst underplaying, I guess, is sort of a way you do it, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Oversaying, yeah, underplaying. That's a good motto.
Or that on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your merch, man. Yeah. That's your merch. Yeah. I'll buy it. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. TikTok to me is fascinating. Every time I've been asked to speak on it for like business media, it to me is just the most fascinating platform. There's no doubt you've all discovered a thing that you were doing on Instagram and then you bring it to this new platform and it's like, well, it's a fucking no-brainer. And the organic reach that it has is quite amazing, I would say. The way the algorithm knows me is very, very, very scary. I don't know how many hours you guys spend on the platform. I think last I checked, I'm spending about 3 hours a day because I can like excuse it as work, so to speak. I'm just looking for more talent.
Yeah.
I'm probably the same.
I turned off my screen time because I'm like, I just don't need that negativity in my life right now, because like, it's fine. I'm happy with the amount of time I'm spending on there, except if I'm really busy, I'm like procrastinating.
Yeah. Well, it was funny because I was having a meeting with another agency owner and he'd like noticed that I had the 15-minute timer thing on TikTok and I just cancel it all the time.
Oh, yes.
You're like, another 15 minutes. I do that all the time. I'm like, pretty much. Shut up.
You. Yes, you. Are you intrigued by this episode? If so, go to our footer on the website, neuralle.com. We're going to give you an insight each week. It's going to be on business, marketing, or a topic that we covered in the episode at all. We'd love your support and it would help us in developing the intellect around this series. But without going on too much longer, let's get back into this episode. So before, Maddie, you mentioned, what's his name? The guy in the office who's that director now?
John Kravinsky.
That's it.
Jim. Okay, I
want to know amongst you guys, who are your favorite creative performance comedic leaders? Who are the people you guys really look up to and will drop everything to watch what they do?
I love Liza Koshy. I brought her. I have watched her for years. Like, I just remember when she's like, I would walk around Coles and I would be doing my grocery shopping and I'd be doing puns. And then, like, I just remember watching her do it with David Dobrik or whatever ages ago. And I was just like, this chick needs to be my friend. I don't know. I just love her. And she's just got so much energy. And a friend of mine actually said to me one time, she was like, you remind me of Liza Koshy. And I was like, stop.
Like, yeah, really? I can see that too. This, it's the silliness.
Oh, I just love her. I think she's just so funny. And like, same sort of thing, like down to earth, like she just dances. I wish I was as flexible as her. That's one thing that I do not have. I'm so unflexible. She just like sits in the splits and I'm like, bro, I'm like, can I do that, please? But yeah.
Liza Koshy, if anyone listening, is basically a YouTuber. She was with old mate David Dobrik, who's been cancelled.
Controversial.
Yeah, he's been cancelled. Yeah. Bye.
And, but she's very genuinely funny. What about you, Will?
Obviously, well, I mean, now I can sort of call them friends, which are all the people that I sort of work with now, like Neil and French and everyone, in terms of just like being able to take Australian comedy into actually something profitable that you can live off, because for a long time people just, you know, that didn't seem possible. So huge respect to them and, you know, Luke and Lewis now as well, just people that are actually being able to live off comedy. I have a lot of respect for. In terms of like people outside of my reach that I've spoken to, there's an American film director who's just sort of started. His name's Ari Aster, and he's directed films like, I don't know if anyone's a big film head here, but he did Hereditary, which is a horror film.
Oh, yeah.
And he did Midsommar as well. And he's actually extremely funny, and his short films are hilarious, and that sort of style of humor I find really funny. Now, obviously, it's different mediums, but that sort of creativity really inspires me. And same with people like Bo Burnham as well, just like people that are able to – I like people that – like for me, the funniest thing, and my mum has it as well, I find tragedy really funny if it's so tragic. And I know that sounds awful, but like – eventually something becomes funny if it starts to become so, so terrible. I find that there eventually an element of humor comes into it. Like, have you seen The Lighthouse? Anyone?
Yeah, I've seen clips of it. I haven't watched it.
Yeah, my mum thought that was the funniest thing she's ever seen, because the situation they get in gets so dire to the point where mum could not hold back tears of laughter streaming down her face. So I think we've both got that weird. Larry David as well is another perfect example. Like, Curb Your Enthusiasm is the greatest show of all time.
Yeah. Did you ever like or know of George Carlin then?
Oh, yeah. He was like, it's the thing where I'm like, oh, yeah, he's funny. But I don't know. Like, I just can't get it. Maybe it's, I'm like, oh, too old for me. I don't know. But
it's a similar thing though, where he sort of like talks about the front row to the freak show. Like, you just can't help but laugh at the situation sometimes you find yourself in.
Exactly. I find when I'm at my most broken, I sort of, I'm waiting for one other thing to push me so I can start laughing at how fucked everything is getting. So, yeah.
So go
it's a
down,
good way to live.
Go off the deep end and you'll find the best comedy.
Exactly. That's why. That's sort of why I try to make my characters as like deplorable as possible.
That's a good point, actually. Mm. But yeah, Midsommar, Hereditary. We obviously link all this shit in the show notes, but they're two of my favorite movies ever. I'm pretty sure I've got I've got Lauren hates it. She fucking hates it. But the Hereditary soundtrack, it's incredible.
It's the greatest horror film for the last 30 years. It's one of the best movies. It's my second favorite movie of all time.
And I'd almost argue that Midsommar was a little bit better because it was just realistic.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, Midsommar was great. I loved the themes, and Florence Pugh was incredible. So,
yeah. What about you, Star? Who do you look up to?
I am such a stan for Emma Chamberlain. I just fucking love her style of videos. For anyone who doesn't know who she is, she's an American YouTuber. I just find her hilarious because she's very like self-deprecating in the way that she does things as well. Like super dry, super sarcastic. It's like what we were saying before. She doesn't try to be funny, but I just find it fucking hilarious. And she just does like the stupidest edits on all of her videos as well. Like it'll just like zoom in on her face. Maddie, I feel like you'd really like her actually. It's definitely your vibe. And she would
I know her.
Yeah. All these like weird filters and everything. I find her hilarious, and I will find myself just binging all of her YouTube videos. But like when you think about the actual content, you're like, wow, she's not even doing anything interesting, but it's just fucking funny and entertaining.
Yeah, she doesn't actually do much. But, yeah, I'd agree. She was a similar person where she came from. Well, she was her own person, and then she sort of was involved in the David Dobrik crowd and then probably realized that those guys were a bit boring.
Yeah.
But what I find really interesting about all of you guys and the people you've mentioned is how many people are just internet people.
Mm.
You know, it's not the – like if you think about it, decades ago, people would just say, or a decade ago even, everyone would say, people like, oh, I love Brad Pitt and I love this person, and they're just sort of mainstream entertainers, whereas it just goes to show how much YouTube and social media has impacted entertainment in the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking before about videos that blow up. I know, speaking to all of you, that being a creator, none of you have any ideas to what is going to make a video blow up. I think people who think creators do are being a little naive. There's no distinguishing thing, but you know, over the time that I've worked with you all, I've been able to digest and understand, let's say, things as formats. Star loves that term,
repeatable,
right?
Repeatable format. What that does to me.
So. But I'm curious from all your perspective, because, you know, like what does the creative process look like? Do you all have like a notes app where you just write down an idea? How does that work? Bro, maybe Star, you want to go first?
My notes are so cooked. I feel like Maddie and I've talked about this before. Like it's like wake up in the middle of the night, like, oh my God, I have to write that down. And then like you open your phone in the morning and you're like, why does it say computer, TV, cheese, snorkel? Like what the fuck does that even mean? That's for me, like I will write ideas in my phone, but to be honest, like I feel like all the shit I write in there, I never actually do. Like it's just in there.
Maybe that's just the process, is the continually writing of shit. And then eventually you realize you got something good, and then it's kind of obvious.
I draw a lot of inspiration from taking the piss out of my boyfriend, because he just does so many fucking annoying things. And I'm just like, oh my God. For example, if you guys have seen my water bottle video, how guys will just like squeeze the living shit out of a water bottle when they're drinking from it. That was because we're sitting in the car and I'm like, here you go, have some water. And then he just like did that. And I was like, oh my God, this is content right here. Boom, make it into a video, done. Send it off, mine still delivered.
Maddie, what were you saying before?
No, I'm the exact same as Star. Like I was driving home this morning and I was just driving my car and I was just like literally just being observant of like my environment and like just people around me. And then I was like, oh, like that's a TikTok idea, because someone was pissing me off in the car like next to me. And I was just like, oh. And then I was like, oh. It's just like really being observant of like the way that things are around you. But I think also the way that my brain works is I think about a lot of things in like an alternate reality. Like I'll be like, oh my God, imagine if like, I don't want to share my idea. No, but like, imagine if like, rather than like sneezing, it wasn't a sneeze, it was a scream or like something like that. Like something like very, very small in like a day-to-day thing that could be like, it could be normal, but then watching it from like behind a screen could be hilarious. Like, and even just like I was at dinner with some friends and we were eating food and I was like, oh my God, imagine if like rather than everyone going, like they just say a completely different reaction. Just like looking at people's mannerisms and the way that the world is now and just imagining a really simple thing in a different way.
Yeah,
I think that's where my brain is. Yeah, I got to work on it. I got to actually make it.
Well, one of the best ever agency owners I've ever met here in Australia, independent agency, said to me one day that everything is just a remix. It sort of sounds similar to that. It's like take a thing and make it different for you.
Exactly right.
Will, what about you?
Mine's pretty boring. Mine's like I think of a pretty good idea. Like the hardest bit for me is the idea. So it's like I come up with an idea, whether it's someone's commented it and I like it or whatever it is. And then I just like set my phone up, hit record, do a take, and then it's done.
Okay.
It's usually one take, two takes.
Do you, and then, like, because obviously doing stand-up, you've got to write. Like I know Neil as an example, when I interviewed him, I think he said he writes for like half an hour, maybe an hour a day. Do you do something like that?
Oh, I wish. I try my best. But no, mostly writing is different for every comedian. For me, if I'm writing stand-up, it's bullet points, which are maybe just the punchlines, and then you fill the gaps in with just random talk. But for these videos, if I'm doing one-take videos, which I find go the best, it's literally you just hit record and I'll do one take and then I'll be like, okay, that felt really great. I won't do another one. Or I'll go, oh, that was funny. Maybe I'll add this joke in because I thought of something else and, you know, there. So it's only like probably honestly like if I want to do a video, it'll take like 3 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, then it's sort of done.
Interesting.
So it's pretty, it's pretty bizarre. And then it fucking pisses me off when some random person messages me. It's so clear you stole my TikTok ideas.
What the fuck?
It's like, oh, really? Your TikTok ideas. Let's have a look at them. Oh, the most generic stuff I've ever seen. Yeah, I stole those. No, I didn't.
Yeah, but
sorry.
This opens a line of thinking that I had noted down is what's the dumbest comments you've seen and what's the dumbest questions you repeatedly see that you wish people wouldn't ask?
My God. When I painted nails, the little fucking shit heads that were like, why are your nails painted? It's like, okay, fuckhead, how about this? Why, you know, I mean, obviously I want to rip into these people, but they're like 11, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to go, why are you so fucking ugly or something? I can't say that. I'm like a 12-year-old kid.
You get removed off the app.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the scary thing was for me was like all these people commenting the stuff about my painted nails, which I thought was the most innocent thing I've ever done, was that they all followed me. So I was like, wow, this is the sort of audience that I've been building up. Because I think the funniest thing is when I pay out, I do those videos like private school boy and I'm like, oh, I glassed a chick on the weekend. There's actually a huge portion of people that watch my videos and go, oh yeah, glassing chicks. And I'm like, dude, you're not like, you missed.
It went over your head.
Boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we're getting on the boat, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have any legs. You're crawling to God knows under the floor or something. I don't know what's going on here, but like we're in different mindsets.
What about you, Star? What's sort of the comments and questions that you hate the most?
I really like to just trigger people on purpose. So like if I make a video about something, I'll like call the item something the wrong name on purpose. Like I always do it with the Harbour Bridge and the Anzac Bridge. I like swap the names around and people get so fucking angry, but I really enjoy it because then it starts this like whole dialogue in the comments of like, yeah, you're so dumb. It's obviously the Harbour Bridge. And I'm like, well, that's the whole point of the joke. Like don't ruin the joke. what else was I going to say? What's another one that I get? Oh, also indicator versus blinker. So I say blinker for your little thing in your car. Everybody
that's
else
fucked.
Reckons that's fucking cooked and they think it's called.
it's definitely indicator. Oh, she's frozen.
Indicator.
Again.
So indicator.
My coffee as well. Yeah, I like to be a bit spicy sometimes. I don't know.
So,
but that is so true. People get so mad at that sort of stuff. Like that is what really, but it's good for the algorithm.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Like boost the engagement. It's fine. Oh, the other day, two people had a full on fucking argument in my comments. It was nothing to do with me. It was about something else. And it was like 50 comments in this thread. And I was like, guys, are you okay? Like what the fuck?
Yeah. I feel like as much as people hate it, like when it comes to politics, but polarization as an idea on any topic is good for entertainment. Like we had this with a client recently where we did a podcast series for them and it was called Margin Call, which in the finance space is a bad word. You don't use that word at all.
Great movie.
Fantastic movie. And so I strongly suggested they call it Margin Call, and they copped so much shit from people for calling it Margin Call. And then when we sat down with the executives after the campaign and said, what do you think of that? And one executive is like, I fucking loved it. Another was like, I fucking hated it. I had this person calling me about it. I'm like, you guys don't get it. It's gone straight over your head. That is the exact point of doing that. It's to blow things up and get the conversation going to serve you in your and your brand, essentially. And in this case, for you guys, your entertainment piece. So
yeah,
I think that's often missed by people. But Maddie, what's the comment questions that piss you off the most?
I think one is definitely people always commenting being like, oh, women think they're funny.
Oh.
I don't know if you get that all the time, Star, as well. It's just like, and it's funny because it's like, I click on this person's profile and they've got like 2 followers and like 3 videos. And then, but it doesn't matter. They're probably like 10, but I'll try and be like, I don't want to put any shit out there, but I'll be like, say that to the 50,000 people that like it or whatever. And so I just kind of like put them back in their place. But that's probably the one thing that really frustrates me, because it's just like, you obviously are like severely lacking human connection that you feel the need to just comment on someone's post that's obviously going to get a reaction out of it. So that's their own problem. But that's probably the only thing that pisses me off. And then also with me doing like the dandelion videos with the filter, people were commenting being like, it's not a filter. They thought that it was my actual face. I was like, what do you mean? My face doesn't look like that. But no, I thought that was
God help
but
you
definitely like, yeah, but definitely like the idea, I think, especially being like women in comedy, definitely the idea of like only men are funny. I just like, I hate that. I'm like, anyone can be funny. It doesn't matter of like sexual orientation or whatever. It doesn't matter. Like anyone can craft humor if you want to.
I think that goes back to when people attack a joke based on the person delivering it and not the joke itself.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with any argument. If you attack the individual, you're sort of lost in any way.
What's the logical fallacy? What's it called? I can't even remember. Psych 1001. It's got a name when you attack the person rather than the argument itself.
Is
it ad hominem or something like that?
Yeah. What an ad hominem attack.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Like ad hominem attacks are just attacks on the individual and not the argument.
Yeah.
It's most commonly used in politics, but people don't recognize it as much when it's used about any other topic.
Yeah. I definitely cop that comment a lot as well. Or just in general, like what pisses me off is people, whether it's on my video or someone else's, like people making comments about the way that you look. Like, it's just a fucking
lie.
But at the same time, I just always think if the worst thing that someone can say about you is about the way you look, like, get fucked. Like,
yeah,
it's always a reflection of their internal insecurities. But it really frustrates me because I think about if that comment was to go to someone who isn't me, doesn't have a thick skin or isn't in the same mind frame as me, then I feel like really protective over that person that I'm making up in my head. But you know what I mean? It's just like, and whenever I cop that, I'll just block the person unless I can think of something funny to reply with. Like, I got one from a kid once and he was like, oh, like, yeah, he literally said women aren't funny or something. And I went on his profile and it said 17 in his bio. And I like replied to the comment. I was like, you know, cut it out. I'm going to call your school and you're going to get banned from going to formal. And everyone's like, so funny. Like, but you know, it's scary though, because sometimes when you call the behavior out, then your followers will then go after that person, which I believe doesn't fix the problem. It just kind of fuels the fire a little bit. So it's an interesting space to step into in that regard, like, because I think you kind of do have to be responsible for your audience to some degree, because you don't want to be fueling that negative shit because it's already so fucked on there. So I don't know. That's just my point of view.
Now, before we get into the last question, before the rapid fire questions, I said before you got your own distinct brands. I think Star, I'd tease that it is Bogan Margot Robbie, but it's not. It's more Entertainer Star. Maddie, Queen of the Dandelions, similar thing. And Will, pure comedy, I would say. What do you guys want for your future? Where does this go in terms of your growth as an entertainer?
I see this as a way to grow a following that when I do live shows and whenever I want to put out anything else, like if I want to, you know, write a TV show and do a pilot or direct a short film, whatever that is, all that sort of other stuff that I do want to do eventually, to prove to producers, to prove to people that I'm going to have to go to in the future and say, look at this audience I could do with zero budget and just me. So imagine a budget and then even more talented people that I've actually been able to connect with and meet. You'd be a fucking dumb piece of shit not to take it on. So I think that's, you know, just sort of a bit of proof to sort of back up what I think is a talent, you know. Yeah. That's hopefully it.
Do you want to run now? Do you need to run?
Yeah. Should I say like a thank you?
Nah, it's fine, man. You can just go. See ya.
Listen to Uncommon and subscribe below and yeah. Love you all.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.
He's gone. Now, Star.
Yes.
What about you? What do you want to do with this?
I feel like Will is really clear on where he wants his life to go, and I definitely don't feel like I'm in the same position. I guess for
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think for me, like, I'm just enjoying the journey, most importantly, and if at any point I'm not enjoying it anymore, then I'll pull back from it. But I am just really loving the process at the moment and growing an audience and connecting with people. Like I said at the start, like, at my core, I love telling people stories. So I feel like I have these people following me. I'm like, oh, these people are my friends. Like, I don't know. I have like funny conversations with them and blah, blah, blah. I know. So honestly, I just want to see where it goes. I like entertaining people. I like making people laugh. I get like a lot of, I guess, validation from like putting my content out there and people, like you said, Maddie, like, oh, your stories made my day or your videos made my day. Like getting those random people that you've never spoken to before, like DMing you being like, oh, this is really fucking funny. I'm just like, oh, like this makes me really happy at the point that I'm at in my life right now. So why not continue to lean into it and see where it goes? And TikTok is such a crazy platform. And Jordan, I know we've spoken about this a lot, but like it's just in its early days. We're literally at the tip of the iceberg with this platform. And like we have so much support from TikTok Australia. And it's like if you can nail your formats now, you will grow with the platform. So I guess that's just what I'm trying to do and just have some fucking fun along the way.
Yeah. It's funny. This just reminds me of a conversation I had with Lauren like in the last month. I think she had she'd been overworked. She had bad PMS. She was in a real fucking mood. She said to me the other day, and this is the reality, is no one has it worked out at all. So I'm 31. She's 30 in a couple months. Neither of us have it worked out. And she said to me, honestly, she's like, some days I just wish you could just knock me up and I'm a stay-at-home mom. I'm like, fuck, but I don't know what I want to do. like I do, but you know what I mean? Like it's people put a lot of pressure on themselves to have it all like figured out.
Mm.
And sometimes you just want to take the easy road out and just fall back onto something. But I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just a really interesting conversation.
See, age is an interesting angle to look at this from as well, because I'm 27 at the end of the year. And every time I go to like an event and I'm meeting other creators, I'm just like, they're like, oh, how old are you? I'm like 27. They're like, oh my God. They're like, oh, I gotta wait for this old lady. Because I feel like people will generally, in general, start this journey when they're like, you know, 19, 20, 21. And I'm just like, whatever, I'm just going with it. But yeah, that happened to me at an event the other night. They were literally like, get away from us, you weirdo. What are you doing here?
Go
home at 9 p.m. No, they didn't say get away, but I was just like, it's a strange world.
What about you, Maddie?
I think that the biggest thing for me is just to expect the unexpected. I think that I had my reservations at first about getting involved in the whole TikTok thing. I think that for me, I was like, oh, it's a one-hit wonder, like, whatever, like just that's in the past. And then now I'm just like, you know what, like I've been provided with different opportunities that have like landed in front of me. I have had certain ideas on like what I've wanted to do in life, like, you know, go to uni, get a good job. I think that if anything, like just to be grateful for what I've got already. And I think also to like push myself and like be creative and allow myself to like always be challenging myself and figure out like where I can go. And yeah, like I just think like the one thing that I keep saying to myself is like, why not do this? Like, why not do that? Like, all in retrospect, is that the right word? All in retrospect. But yeah, just kind of like, don't be judgmental of yourself when others, like, just kind of seize the day, really, like make the most of every day. Like I get up at 4:45 almost every day to go to the gym and watch the sunrise and do all this kind of stuff. And it's like, I have the time to do it. And I think that I've been so used to living my life a certain way. And I'm just kind of like, this is like a doorway to so many other things. I've already met such great people. Like, I think that it's really exciting, but I don't want to hone in too much on being like, this is where I want to go, because literally this happens all the time. Every time I open up my mouth and be like, yeah, like this is happening. It like I went on a date with a guy and I was like, oh my God, best date ever. And I haven't heard from him. And I was like, what? So it's like, I don't want to focus too much on like, on a certain thing. I just want to let it come as it is. And just as long as I'm having fun on the way, that's the most important thing.
What I found, and like Maddie and I have like similar jobs outside of TikTok as well, is that the skills are really transferable too. And
working
in like social media marketing and everything, like one of my clients is a gym and I've been creating these super simple videos, but everyone is carrying on like it's like an Oscar nominated film. They're like, oh my God, how did you do that video? That is the best thing I've ever seen. And I'm like, oh, this is actually really cool. So it's like, it's nice to see that those skills are coming out of that. And also just to have the awareness of the platform and like the market as well. So I guess it's a nice little sweet spot in between everything.
Yeah. At the very worst case scenario, you have a skill set that, I mean, it's so fucking obvious that this will help you in your careers. I mean, there was a creator, I can't say his name at the moment because he's just about to start the job, but well-known blue tick creator who needed a reference for a job at SCA because they just, I don't know, they somehow needed a reference. And it's just like, just look at his fucking social profile. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. He's got nearly 500,000 followers. Like, give the guy a go. Anyway, I'm very excited for what you two are up to, but we do have to run into our rapid fire questions. So first one, morning and evening routine. What does that look like?
I wake up at 4:45 and I go to the gym at 5:15. And then after that, I will go with my friend for coffee and we will watch a sunrise. I'll probably go for a swim and then I'll go home. I might have time for a nap and then I'll make myself breakfast and then I'll go to work for the day. That's a morning, nice. Morning routine.
And evening, what do you do at night?
Oh, evening. Oh, it depends on the day. Whatever happens. I've got no idea. You sometimes work. As well.
Star, what about you?
Mads and I actually like soul sisters. We're pretty much the same person. So I too am a very early riser. I'll get up at like 4:45. I'll go train at the gym, sometimes sunrise, or come home and start working. It's a bit toxic that I do that, but I'm like most productive in the mornings. Like after 3 p.m., my brain is just fucked. So yeah, my mornings are like very sacred to me and I try and do as much as I can. That makes me really happy to set me up for the day. And evenings, it's changed since I've leapt into the freelance life and I've just moved house as well. But generally just like make dinner, hopefully not do any more work, try to set the boundaries and just like hang out with my roommate's dog and maybe see my boyfriend.
There you go. Matt Rains, the famous Matt Rains. All right.
We literally are the same person.
Last question for you guys. Best purchase under $200.
I bought a ukulele that I don't know how to play. I have a really bad eBay late night purchasing habit and I wake up 2 weeks later to something on my doorstep. I bought those little fake hands as well. And I bought binoculars, a harmonica, a kite.
You're right.
Best purchase.
I've got a very long list of stuff.
Oh, I know. My air fryer. I'm fucking obsessed with it. Okay, like I feel like name something that's a cult that isn't actually a cult. People who own air fryers. They're fucking amazing. Yeah. $89 from Kmart, hashtag not sponsored. I'm obsessed with it. Like I should just do a video about air fryers because I fucking love it.
Oh my God, you actually should.
I saw Christian Hull the other day air frying the new Hokey Pokey thing.
Yeah, the caramel.
Chocolate. Hokey Pokey caramel. That's it. I still haven't tried it. Is it good?
Yeah, I've got some in my fridge. Do you want me to eat it? You want to try some?
Yeah. Send it over via Zoom.
Do a mukbang.
Mukbang. Guys, thank you so much for coming on and doing this at short notice as well. I'm normally better than that, but lockdown has got us in a bit of a spin, I would say. But sure. It's good to have talent on and talk about what you guys are doing. I'm excited to finally get up to Sydney in July. where can people find you guys on the interwebs? Where are the best places?
You can find me. My handle is the same on Insta and TikTok. It's star with a double R, MCG. Yeah, that's me. Like, comment, subscribe.
Mads?
I should really change my Instagram.
Yeah, I was thinking
my Instagram is Maddie Spence Sardude.
Hilarious.
And then Maddie Spence.
I feel like we'll put it in the show notes.
your TikTok handle.
Link
your,
down below, thanks.
Your TikTok handle. We're going to do something about that. Maddie Spencer 5. We're going to get rid of that 5 somehow.
True. Yeah, I'll fix it. I was calling myself Maddie Spencer for a while with a U.
Okay.
Because I'm just works. Disgusting.
Guys, thank you so much for coming on. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for checking out this episode. If you do like it, please subscribe. And of course, like if you're watching the YouTube video as well. We'd really appreciate that. You can also find our Clips channel in the description. For audio, if you're not already listening, you can search Uncommon on Pocketcast, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts quite easily. For video, if you're not watching, you can search Uncommon on YouTube. And for behind the scenes takes and clips on social media, then definitely check out at @uncommon_show on Instagram. But otherwise, look, thanks so much for tuning in. And until next time, thanks for listening.